all of our children that go to children's church, if we could start by having you come up here first, would you? And moms, if they're a little shy, you can feel free to come with them. But you're kind of right up here and meet me at the front, okay? Guys, I'm going to turn this mic on. Yeah, come on right up here. You can sit down right there in the front there. Yeah, how many we got here? Oh my goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Oh, we got a crew today. Okay, yeah, excellent. Well, have a seat. Well, you know, this is Mother's Day, right? Okay. And you know what we do on Mother's Day? It's really just a special day just to say I love you, Mom. It really is a special day for that. Now, do you know my sons? Do you know my youngest son, Slater? He's the tall blonde. Okay, looks like Johnny Bravo. Some say Henry Danger, whoever that kid is. And he, when he was your age, when he was a little guy like that, everywhere we'd go, he'd look for something to give his mom. Anything. And he'd pick a dandelion. I'm going to give this to Mom. And now he's 15 years old. He's taller than I am. And when he comes home from school or from a church event, and the first, if I'm the first one he sees when he walks in the door, you know what he says? He says, "Where's Mom?" Yeah. Because for Slater, every day is Mother's Day. And that's really what we're supposed to do, isn't it? We're supposed to always remember to say, "I love you, Mom," and love Mom. But this is a special day, so I thought what we'd do is we just get you a little something to give to your mom, okay? So on your way out to Children's Church right now, we need to take a yellow rose and give it to your mother. If she's not here, you can get it to her later. That's fine, but go feel free to take it now, okay? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and make sure you drip it on your mom's dress and say Happy Mother's Day. There you go. Okay, got one? Oh, very good. Here you go, Piper. One for you. You too. Yeah, that's right. You take one, absolutely. Okay, and you can head downstairs, all right? You guys get one? Very good. Yeah, don't, it's okay, and don't poke yourself there. Thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead. And the rest of us, we're going to start in the book of Exodus, chapter 1. And you know, Mother's Day is one of those days. It's a national holiday. And not every preacher preaches on Mother's or Father's Day. In fact, I don't do it every year. But there is a reason to stop and pause and consider this day and what it means. Mother's Day can be very hard for some. Mother's Day sometimes brings with it hard memories. Some did not have a wonderful relationship with their mom. Or, you know, when a mom loses a child, that's the reverse order and the way it's supposed to be. And this can be a very difficult day. And yet, you know, for every one of us, we can always stop to acknowledge God's creation of motherhood. And you can do that. And you can say, "I'm going to give God thanks for the creation of motherhood." He, after all, of course, is the perfect parent, but he's given us reason to just take some time on a day like this and consider motherhood, even if your mother wasn't what you would consider honorable. Maybe she wasn't honorable. But motherhood, in the way God created it, is. And a lot of us, of course, we have reason to just say, "I'm thankful for the way my mom brought me up." And that's what we're doing today, just to look at motherhood. So maybe what some of the things we're looking at here don't apply to you, but maybe they do. We're in the middle of a series on investment. You know, what it is to spiritually invest into something. And, you know, moms have a call, and that is to invest. I think a helpful way to get in the right mindset to honor motherhood or to honor your own mom, simply to think about the ways that your mom invested in you. We heard a couple of testimonies like that. You may have a testimony in which your mom invested in you. Let's take a look at just a few things in Scripture that demonstrate a way or ways the mom invests, okay? The first one is found in Exodus chapter chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And when you read this, might I ask, is your mom like Jochebed? This would be Moses' mom, okay? Moses' mom. Is she like Jochebed in that she protected you even at her own cost? Did she protect you at her own cost? We looked at Jochebed last year in great detail. Just briefly, look at a woman who protected her child. Remember, when Moses was born, Israel were slaves to Egypt, and the Pharaoh was feeling so threatened by these growing population of slaves, he thought, they're going to overpower us. So, therefore, to all the newborn boys born to these slaves, kill them. That was his order. And that was the condition in which Moses was born. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi, so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, I need to explain that, okay? Not the idea that, because it says she saw that he was a beautiful child, and she hid him 3 months. She protected him. Now, that doesn't mean that she saw him and said, what a good-looking kid, whereas if he was ugly, like I was, then he was, hang him out to dry. It doesn't mean that at all. The word beautiful really carries with it the idea is not brought out, and there's no word for it in the English language. But the translation is the idea that she saw in this child there was something special. God had a plan. She knew that. And, of course, she would have hid him even if she didn't see that plan, but she knew. She knew there was going to be success in hiding this child from the murderous Pharaoh. It says, she hid him 3 months, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dubbed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Now, is that a good way to protect your child? Put him in a floating basket in the river? Well, it was in this case because Jochebed knew who went down to bathe at that river. She knew it was the Pharaoh's daughter, and somehow she knew what kind of a woman the Pharaoh's daughter was versus what kind of a man the Pharaoh was. She just knew this, and because of that, she put a plan together, and she hid that child where the princess would find him. She did. And it says in verse 5, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. She opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. She knew it was one of the little boys her dad said to kill. She knew that. Okay? Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that you may nurse? She may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called, of all people, the child's mother. So here's Jochebed, had to give up raising the child, but she still got to nurse the child and see him in the safety of the Pharaoh's own home because of this princess. You know, what a cost to herself, though, not being able to raise that little boy. But she did it to protect her son. Such protection was a huge investment in Moses, wasn't it? Well, that's what your mom is doing when she looks out for you. Though it costs her, she's investing in you. My mom spent a lot of sleepless nights helping me get through an asthma attack when I was a little boy. And that was important to her, to protect me as best as she could. And it cost her. She had a full day the next day as well. And I know sometimes there is such a thing as overprotection. And that's true. And to overprotect can come with its own set of drawbacks. You know, overprotection is to protect your child from that which is not a reasonable threat. Okay? And we see this in most new moms, I think, with the firstborn, don't we? You know, with the firstborn, oh my word, mom practically puts a plastic bubble around that kid. And by the time she gets to 3 or 4, it's, unless you can stop the bleeding by yourself, okay, don't bother me because I got things to do. I got laundry to fold. But, keep this in mind. Some moms have an overprotective nature. The she-bear just comes out at the slightest of potential threats. But remember this. The mom who is even overprotecting, is still protecting and not neglecting. Cut our moms a little slack. And if you think they're being a little bit silly and you think they're germaphobes or whatever, remember, this is not a neglectful mom here. Praise God for a mom who protects her children, man. She's recognizing the arrows in this quiver and how valuable they are and what gifts they are from God. And maybe that was your mom. Maybe that is your mom, okay? Consider her with fondness. Praise God for a protecting mother, especially when it costs her something. You know, here's another mom we should look at, and another mom who invested. And this you will find in Judges chapter 13. Judges 13. You know whose mom this was? This was Samson's mother. Samson was one of the judges, and this was his mom. Was or is your mom like Samson's mom in that she is sensitive to the Word of God? You know, not everybody has a mom that is really sensitive to God's Word, to obey it, to heed it, to live her life by it. Samson's mom was. Take a look at this. In Judges 13, see verse 2, there's a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. Quite often the angel of the Lord is a reference to Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. That is, before he was born in the manger, he would come to earth. This is probably him. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. It's one thing to tell this mom who can't have a child, you are going to have a child, but it's something else to tell him, this child is destined by God Almighty to do some incredible things. A Nazarite, he was one who, you know, couldn't touch a dead animal or any dead body, couldn't drink from the fruit of the vine, and couldn't cut his hair. And this was usually a temporary vow. A Nazarite usually had a temporary assignment. He had to refrain from such things for a while until his assignment was completed. But with Samson, this assignment was from the day he was born and was going to be his whole life. Wow, you know. And the angel of the Lord told this to the woman. Now notice her response in verse 6. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask where he was, ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And she began to relay to her husband all that she heard from the word of God. She took this very seriously, didn't she? This woman was sensitive to these truths. Now then again, in verse 8, it says, then Manoah prayed to the Lord, because he didn't get to see or hear all this, prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came, notice, to the woman again. Isn't that interesting? Manoah says, hey, send this messenger to us. And God did send the messenger again, but only to his wife, not to him. So he sent it to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man came to me the other day. Who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. Isn't that interesting? She had already told her husband what the angel had said. She'd already told him everything he said, that this child would be from birth a Nazarite. And still, The husband wants to hear it from the angel. Not a very Mother's Day act to not believe his wife at face value, but the angel of the Lord, patiently answered the question, says she may not eat anything that came from the vine, nor drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. Right. Now, if you go down to verse 19, because what happened was they got to see an incredible offering consumed here. And verse 18, the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? That's an indication this is Christ here. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord, and he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And notice his response after seeing this incredible sight. Verse 22, Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Now, who isn't thinking very clearly here? Absolutely. Manoah. Because verse 23, the one who is thinking clearly, his wife, says this, but his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. Why would God tell me I'm going to have a baby and this is what he's going to do and then kill us before I could have the baby? You almost wonder if she smacked Manoah in the head before she said this. Yeah? Who is sensitive to the word of God here? Samson's mom. Now, you got a mom like that? Did you have a mom like that? If so, a mom who was sensitive to the word of God, to the point where at times she was used of the Lord to help dad think more clearly. My boy's got a mom like that. Who does that? My wife smacks me on top of the head instead of the back. Okay? But that's exactly what this woman was. And, praise the Lord for a mom who is sensitive to the word. You know? Now, sadly, Samson didn't catch on. He did a bunch of dumb things in his life, but that was to his own doing. That was his fault. Certainly not his mom's. Okay? You got a mom like that? If so, man, that's a mom who has spiritually invested in you. Now, let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs 31. And Proverbs 31. So many moms and wives dread Proverbs 31. Why? Because they think that Proverbs 31 is about the perfect woman who I will never attain to. Okay? No, 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 no. That is not what this proverb is all about. This proverb is not meant to make you feel guilty. This proverb is a wonderful proverb of what you as a wife, as a mom, have opportunity to do. It's just filled with opportunity. Things that God says are noteworthy, praiseworthy, and they're at your disposal. So let me ask you, when you think of your mom, was she or is she, as Bill pointed out, like the virtuous wife of Proverbs 31. The virtuous wife. Because that's what verse 10 says. Who can find a virtuous wife? Virtuous means a wife of strength or who excels. Okay? Not a perfect wife. Doesn't say that. A virtuous wife. No, our moms aren't perfect. That's for sure. But you know, a wife can be strong without being perfect. She can excel in what God has called her to do, most definitely. Is your mom like that? Did you know that three times throughout this proverb, from verse 10 to the end, three times the virtuous wife is said to look after her household? See, that goes beyond her husband. This is inclusive of her children. Three times. How so? Well, verse 15 says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Did mom feed you? Okay. You know, it doesn't say she rises early. It doesn't say that. It says she rises while it is still night. And that rising at night in order to feed you started the day you were born. Sometimes several times a night, you know, as our new moms have found out and are finding out. You know, mom rises in the night to feed you. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow. Okay. Now that's a Central New York mom if ever there was one. Huh? She is not afraid of snow, and the idea is she is not afraid of the threats of weather. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. In other words, she made that happen. Did your mother clothe you? The word scarlet, that's a reference to the purple fabric that was kind of expensive back in that day because purple dye was extremely expensive. And it's not saying that mom is a name dropper when it comes to clothing brands. It means that mom does what it takes to make sure you're not only clothed, but that you're well clothed, that you have what it takes to deal with the snow. Okay? It doesn't mean that she spends a lot of money. When I was in junior high, the shoes of the day, back when I was 11, 12, 13, the shoes that all the kids were wearing were Vans. Okay, Vans, they didn't lace them, they slipped on. And the bottom of the shoe, you know, all the way around at the bottom, the thick rubber part, had these checkers. Red and white, black and white, green and white. Then they entered other things. These were what all the cool kids were wearing. And they were expensive. When I come home and say, Mom, I need a new pair of shoes. What's wrong with your shoes? Well, I need some Vans. Oh, okay. How much are those? I told her. She says, you don't need them that bad. I never got a pair of Vans. My dad was, he was working class, and they didn't have money for that kind of stuff. But you know, I was always well clothed, always. Okay, the snow never got to me, growing up in Phoenix, Arizona. But you can really relate to this because you moms, boy, your mom had to make sure that you were prepared to go out in the Central New York weather. My boy's mom makes sure that they have what it takes. She's been so good at that. And she gets a lot of her stuff at Salvation Army. And it's amazing what good clothes people get rid of at Salvation Army. New Nike tennis shoes, been worn once or twice. My boys grew up in those because Naomi paid $5 for them at Salvation Army. And she makes sure that they have the coats they need. She has done that, not me. She has done that. Now, it's not her fault. Samuel won't wear his coat, okay? 20 degrees outside, Samuel gets out of the car at school with his coat in his hand, short sleeve shirt. Put your coat on, you dumb kid. And that's, but mom makes sure he's got what it takes. And did your mom clothe you? Did she make sure you had what it took to get out there? And then it says in verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household. And does not eat the bread of idleness. Does your mom, or did your mom, just care for you? Did she just look out for you? You know, I mentioned my mom watching out for me when I had an asthma attack at 2 a.m. Okay, she didn't let me endure that alone. She'd sit up with me until it passed. And that was just one of many ways mom watched out for me. You know, a lot of ways my mom watched out for me. She let me deal with my own consequences. You know, when she told me this is not a, don't do this, and then I went and did it, hey, she let the chips fall and didn't try to rescue me. Okay? My dad had parents like that. My dad had a dad that was that way. My dad got himself kicked out of school. It was his own fault. It was in high school. I can't remember what he and a bunch of kids were doing, and they got kicked out. And the principal said, you guys are not coming back in here until your parents come and talk to me. And they all did, except my dad's. And they said, hey, listen, you got yourself kicked out of school. You better get yourself back in. I'm not doing this for you. My dad went back to the principal and said, my parents won't come. And the principal said, okay, you're back in class. That's the kind of mom I had. She said, if you do something that gets yourself into trouble, okay, there's consequences, and I'm not going to spare you the consequences. You know, I never once thought my mom didn't love me. Never once thought that, okay? But that was one way she cared for me, was let me learn things, some things, the hard way. And then she just looked out for me in so many ways. Did you have a mom like that? She just looked out for you, you know? I know there are neglectful moms who do not do these things, but that's not according to God's design of motherhood, is it? So it's no wonder, you know, that such moms who are neglectful are the exception and not the rule. God's design of motherhood so often comes through in our mothers. It's the mom that suppresses God's design that walks away from it. Honor your mom for living according to God's design instead of suppressing it, okay? Because you notice what God says about such a mom, verse 29? Talking to that virtuous wife and mother, he says, many daughters, many women have done well, but you excel them all. Some moms do all of this while also having to hold down a job on the side. And they're looking out for their family as well as working. And as you know, being a stay-at-home mom is already a full-time job. It's not easy for anybody. And then if you got to add a job on top of that to bring in the income, hey, you know, that's a virtuous mom. Again, we've got virtuous mothers who are just looking out for their children. We've gotten away from that in much of our culture. The idea is don't have kids. Kids get in the way. Or at least, if you do, moms, wait till you get your own career off the ground first. Get yourself established. Make sure that you have money and then have children. But even when you have children, don't let them come in the way of your career. That's the message that's coming through the world today. And such women do well financially, okay? But the mom who places her family above herself, to that mom, God says, you excel them all. The world looks down on the mom who keeps the home fires burning. God lifts you up. He lifts that up. So, you know, we couldn't conclude this without at least considering ways you can invest in mom. How can you invest in your mother? Well, you can invest in mom with your words. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. That, you know, that blessed is to honor her as a leader, to pronounce her as someone who's happy or should be. You know, you can make your mom happy by what you do. Honoring your mother with your words. And you don't have to wait till Mother's Day to do this. In fact, you shouldn't wait till Mother's Day. Every now and then you just say, I love you, Mom. I only get to see my mom about twice a year now that we live on either end of the nation. So we talk. And we talk on the phone, you know, once a week or so. And I try not to ever hang up without just saying, I love you, Mom. So she knows that. Just say it. Honor your mom with your words, with the things that you say. You can also honor your mom with your actions. And that's what Ephesians 6 is all about. Ephesians 6 refers all the way back to the Ten Commandments in Ephesians 6:1 that says, children, young people. That's all of you young people right now who you're looking at me, aren't you? Okay? If you did not go to children's church and you are still considered a youth, I'm talking to you. Actually, I'm not talking to you. God's word is talking to you. Wake up! There, now all the eyes are open. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I tell you what, obedience to your parents is a very loud action. It's extremely loud. Your mom, young people, should never, ever have to say, you wait until your father gets home. She should never have to say that to you. Because you don't have to have dad there in order to obey mom. Right? See, I tried that once as a kid. Tried to get away with something just because dad wasn't home. Hey, yeah, I was in junior high, feeling my oats. My mom demonstrated to me, dad didn't need to be there for her to require obedience. But you know, you shouldn't push your mom to that point. Honor your mom by obeying her, okay? Obeying mom's an investment into your mom, and that's a good investment. Okay? Now, for the rest of you, not in the home anymore, okay? You're in your 40s, and your mom doesn't come over and say, did you brush your teeth before you go to bed tonight? Okay? No, that doesn't happen anymore. The obedience factor is not there, but we have verse 2, which is a direct reference to the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, when it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. And that word honor is different from the word obey. See, you may be too old to obey your mom, but you are never too old to honor her. To honor your mom is to lift her up, again, with your words, with your actions. It's to invest in her. It's to demonstrate you recognize that she is your mother, that she was your mother, if she's not with you anymore. It's to acknowledge that. Refusal to honor your mom tears down a relationship you have with her, and that'll come back against you. It eventually will, okay? But honoring your mom builds that relationship you have with her, and that always comes back for you. You show me somebody who, even though they did not have a great relationship with mom, they make an effort to honor her in the way they treat her and the things that they do and the things that they say. And I guarantee you, I'll show you a person who those actions are coming back for him, for her. They always do. Some say, you know, I didn't have one of those honorable mothers. Well, no matter. You can only control what you do, not what anybody else does. And you reap what you sow, remember? That's investment. You're going to get out what you put in to your relationship. Remember the three principles of investment we looked at the beginning of the series a few weeks ago? Your investment always brings a return. Spiritually, it always does. Your return is guaranteed, but the timing is not. Your return comes on God's timing, not yours. And number three, your return is always proportionate to your investment. Okay? You reap a little, or you sow a little, you reap a little. You sow plentiful, you reap plentiful. So whether your mom is honorable in your eyes or not, are you honorable? And that'll come back for you. And if your mom is no longer here, well, honor her by her memory, by how you think of her, by how you speak of her, the things that you say when she's not around, as well as the things you say to her when she is around. You can do that. And you can honor the Lord by honoring mom. That's what we want to do when we come together on Mother's Day. But we do this to remind ourselves, man, let's honor mom every day. Just like my youngest. Every day is Mother's Day in the sight of God. Amen. Father, we do thank you again for this time of just reflecting on your creation of motherhood. Lord, give us hearts and of courage and boldness to say and do honoring things to our mothers while we still can. Lord, I pray for those who can't tell their mother, I love you anymore. They're gone. And Lord, may they just find joy in reflecting on their mom, thinking about what they have taken from their mother in their years of growing up. And I pray you'll bring comfort to those hearts. Bring comfort to all of us and joy as we just reflect on this wonderful creation of motherhood. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.